Yeah.
It could be fake. What? We know the newspaper.
It starts at Old Surrey in northwest London.
And then you say it is not only because this is not
Thursday, 19th of Tavis, 12th of January, not as advertised,
you might be
Rabbi
innocent.
Eli Pick,
you might be innocent.
Moshe because in the palace. This week, Caraway has been sponsored by Family Blachman and Nishmas from Moshe Dovin and Avraham Chanuch Waldman's from the Rochel. This is the outside of Yom Shabbos, 21st of Tavis, and jointly by Family Abi Yudakin. Lil Nishmas Usha Ashuva Tobibas Chaim Hillel Manas Aleh Shalom, Mrs. Toby Dakin on her first Yahrzeit yesterday.
Rabbi Rappaport sends his apologies. He's welcoming Elio Anovi this morning. So we'll be welcoming Moshe Rabbeinu. Well, we all know the story. A baby is floating on the water. The princess, the daughter of Paro, reaches out. Princess Bisio. And this happens, how she manages to reach him. And she observes Mialdei or Ivrim. This is a Jewish child. And she brings him home. We know the story. But why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do it in this way? It's nice. Moshe Rabbeinu is able to grow up in the luxury and the protection of the Egyptian palace. And there he learns about being noble and being respectful. And he certainly turned out far better than Prince Harry did. But if we look at the question as to why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do this, there is obviously a divine plan. The fact that this happens means Hashem wanted it to happen. He designed it to happen. That Moshe Rabbeinu has to grow up inside the palace of Paro. I mean, let's not forget, Egypt was a place of Shitufei Zimor, Avodah Zorah, real corruption. This, although regarded as a civilization of the world, we know that the idolatry and the terrible things which would go on in the tribe would be a bad influence for anybody. So certainly for a young baby, for a young baby to become a leader of Klal Yisrael, is that the right sort of place to put him in? After all, it's not just spiritual danger, but it's also physical danger. Surely when Paro finds out that he is harvesting a boy from the Jewish people in his house, and he's decreed that they should all be thrown into the water, what will he do? He'll chuck him in the water as well. So why did Hashem do it in this way? As if to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to Paro, you are the one who's going to carry out my plans. You are the one who's going to bring up the savior of Klal Yisrael. It's something remarkable. And we might presume that Paro indeed knew that this child was Mialdei or Ivrim. I mean, his daughter said so. And she obviously had some dialogue with her father. Although it does say in the Medrash that she rejected his Avodah Zorah. And then when she went down to the river, she was actually dipping the shame Geirus. Because she wanted to take on Geirus by dipping. But there must have been some dialogue, you know. She comes home and he asks, where does this baby come from? And she says, well, I found it in the water. He goes, yeah, right. So the Medrash says that how she treated him. She hugged him and she kissed him. As if Moshe Rabbeinu was her child. And we know that Moshe Rabbeinu was a real charmer. I mean, Rashi tells us how a light filled up the house when he was born. But in addition to that, the Medrash says, Shehoya Yofa, Kolam Isavim Leroso, he was a real charmer and beautiful to anybody who saw him. Mishehoya Ra'oe Lohayo Mave Atzma Melov. It was so hard to get away from him. It was such a pleasure to be with this baby. So much so that not only was the daughter of Paro hugging him and kissing him, but Paro himself was hugging him and kissing him. It says, Vahoya Paro Menashko Mechabko. Can you believe this? This is extraordinary that Moshe Rabbeinu, who is going to bring us out from Mitzrayim, is being cuddled, and not only is he being cuddled and played with by Paro, I mean, who is paying for the food of this baby? And all right, for 2 years, Yocheved was going in, but she was allowed in to the palace to feed and to nurse him. And according to the Ababanel, she carried on afterwards visiting Moshe regularly. She had a security pass to the palace. Can you believe this? And yet, this is our arch enemy. Can you imagine if Hitler Yirach Shemo would be protecting Winston Churchill to bring him up? You know, it can't make sense in normal terms. We do know that this baby Moshe would climb on the lap of Paro and knock his crown off his head. He took Paro's crown and he put it on his own head. Okay, this is just the baby playing, but the advisors of Paro warned him. He said, you know, this boy could be trouble. He could spell problems for you. And so, in fact, they even were advising that the child be killed. So Paro must have known that this was a Jewish child. But Yisro came along, and Yisro said, look, don't kill him. Just give him a test, see his intelligence, put some burning coals in front of him, and put some nice jewels in front of him, and see what he goes for. Well, Yisro was trying to protect his future son-in-law. Wouldn't you do the same? And as we know, the angel Gabriel pushed the hand of Moshe Rabbeinu towards the burning coals, even though instinctively he would not touch them, and he touched his tongue or his mouth, and that's why he stuttered his whole life. But it's amazing that for 2 years Yocheved is going in the palace nursing him. She carries on contact with him, and the Medrash tells us that he was there in the palace till the age of 20. Some even say he was there till the age of 40. We also know from the Medrash that Moshe Rabbeinu actually had a good dialogue with Paro and spoke to him as an advocate on behalf of the Jewish people. He said, listen, you've got all these slaves out there. They're working 7 days a week. If you make a slave work 7 days a week, they're just going to die. It's not possible. Give them one day off and you'll get a better production line. If in your industries you were going to have them working 6 days a week instead of 7 days a week. And Paro agreed. He says, okay, good idea. And that way, Moshe Rabbeinu from inside the palace, the insider, was able to help Klal Yisrael keep Shabbos. But, you know, it's not just the mortal danger, we said, it's the spiritual danger. A child growing up in such an environment, you know, he'd have been much better off in Paro's house school. What was Hashem's plan that he should be growing up inside the palace? The Ibn Ezra gives two answers. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted a child to grow up without a slave mentality in order to be a leader. To be a leader, you can't have a slave mentality. If you grow up inside a palace, you're made into a prince. He was basically the step-grandson of Paro. You know, that way you become accustomed to royalty and to how to behave and how to lead, and people will have respect for you. So that was Hashem's plan, that he grows up inside the palace in order that he is fit and qualified to lead Klal Yisrael in the future. There is another reason given by the Ibn Ezra, and he says like this. He says, when you're a child and you're growing up with all the lads in the chevra and they see how you behave or misbehave, they know how you were cheeky in class in school, you know, people don't have the same respect for you when they grow up with you. And as you grow older, you're sharing the mikveh with them and you see each other in all sorts of situations. It's not so conducive to commanding respect from others. Whereas if you're a prince who comes out from nowhere but he's one of your people, he's more likely to command the respect of everybody. As I state in the Ibn Ezra, so Hashem says to Moshe, you grow up separately and they will have more respect for you. But it goes much deeper than this. I was once in the home of Rabbi Yonah Balkan, Zecher Tzadik Livrocha, in Manchester. And I don't know where he got this from or whether it was his own chiddush. But he said there's a very interesting word in the Haggadah on Pesach. When we say V'hi She'omdo, She'bechol dor v'dor amdim aleinu l'chaloseinu, in every generation they want to kill out the Jews. V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu matzileinu mi'odom, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves us from their hands. So he says, what's this word mi'odom? HaKadosh Baruch Hu matzileinu, Hashem saves us. What does it mean mi'odom? Does that word really need to be there? So he says, mi'odom means as a result of their hands. Not just that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves us, but as a result of the actions of the Rishoyim and the anti-Semites who are working against us, because of their actions we would be saved. So that the whole plan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that as a result of Paro's actions in bringing up Moshe in his palace, that is, as a result of his hands, the Jewish people will be saved. HaKadosh Baruch Hu matzileinu mi'odom. As a result of Egypt's behavior, as a result of Paro's behavior, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was sending. This is the way the divine plan works. And we don't just see it with Moshe Rabbeinu and saving Klal Yisrael. For example, Haman HaRasha, he built his own gallows. He was hanged on the very gallows which he built for Mordechai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matzilenu Miyodom. As a result of Haman Harosha's actions, the Yidden were saved. This is the amazing way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu works. And even if we talk about the more recent times, even if we talk about the Nazis, Yirach Shemom Zichronom, they did do so much destruction, yes, but they could have won much more. They could have succeeded had Hitler listened to the military advisors. They were advising him to do things and he rejected it out of his ego and his arrogance. Had he listened to them, he may well have been able to enter England. He may well have been able to enter Eretz Yisrael. That was his plan. But it was because of his own ego and arrogance that he was thwarted. Matzilenu Miyodom. So that the enemies of the Jews are really architects of their own downfall. As we would say, they shoot themselves in the foot. That their harm is self-inflicted or self-induced. So the Rasha, the wicked person, he's a bit of a shlemiel. He's an idiot because he's bringing about his downfall. But not only is he a shlemiel, he's also a shlemazel. What's the difference between a shlemiel and a shlemazel? The shlemiel is the one who falls over with a plate of soup, stupidly, and the shlemazel is the one it lands on. So I told my wife, I'm going to talk about a shlemiel and a shlemazel. Well, she said, in that case, we can go together. But there's more than this as well. The Matzilenu Miyodom, it's extraordinary, it's amazing, but there's something even deeper still, which is getting into the more mystical aspect of things. This sweet baby who removes the king's crown, you'd call him Motek. In Shmos Rabbah, in Aleph Chavov, it says, V'chein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omer, V'otzi Eish Mitochecho. So it quotes a pasuk from Yecheskel, Yecheskel Kavches, and we can look at the whole pasuk just to get an idea of what it's saying. Meirov Aveinecho Be'evel Rechulosecho. So by the multitude of your sins, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Yecheskel, in respect of the Melech of Tzor, he's saying, by the multitude of your sins, Chilalto Mikdoshecho, dishonesty, you desecrated your sanctities. And then he says, V'otzi Eish Mitochecho, and I will draw out the fire from within you. Hi Achaloscho, Le'etencho, Le'ife, Alo Oretz, Le'inei, Kol Ro'echo. It consumed you, and I've made you into ashes on the earth in the eyes of all who see you. So it sounds very, very destructive when you read this posuk. But really, the way the Medrash takes out this phrase in the middle is very positive. And this is brought down by the Maharal in his Gevuros Hashem, in his Perek Yud Ches, and there he discusses this posuk, V'otzi Eish Mitochecho, and I bring out the fire from within you. What does that mean? That when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saving us from Paro and Mitzrayim, he is taking out the spark from the tumah of Paro's palace. That spark is Moshe Rabbeinu growing up, and that spark is the fire which saves Klal Yisrael. He's bringing out the fire from the heart of the enemy. And that is what saves Klal Yisrael, and that is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly doing. It's an amazing idea. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Lamed Tes, talks about Ovadia. Ovadia made one prophecy, and that would be the downfall of Edom. Ovadia was a Ger Tzedek. Where did he come from? He came from Edom. So he is the one who predicts the downfall of Edom. We read Ovadia, or some communities read Ovadia on Parshas Vayishlach. It's quite short. So Ovadia, who Yirei Hashem Ma'od, he was a great fearer. Interesting how it says Ma'od, more than it says with Avram Avinu, Malachim Aleph Yud Ches. He grew up under the wicked King Achav, the Queen of Zevel, wicked people, but he was not influenced by them into bad ways, even though he was in close contact with them. In contrast, Edom, which is really Esav grew up in a kosher environment under Yitzchak and Rivka, and look how Esav turned out. So you can't always go by the environment which somebody grows up in. Esav grows up with Yitzchak and Rivka, and Ovadia grows up under the wicked King Achav and Queen Azeva. So why is his prophecy regarding Edom, asks the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that it gives him credit that he did not learn from the wicked ways of Achav and Yezebel. And in the name of Rabbi Meir, it says, Ovadia was an Edomite. So he was the one who was giving the prediction and the encouragement regarding the downfall of Edom, from whom he came himself. And I will bring out the fire from within you. That the spark, the kedusha, the salvation, comes from within the heart of the enemy. And it's the same with Paro. I mean, throwing babies in water and a daughter brings him in. And what would you expect Paro to react like? But Hashem is controlling the situation. So what does the Gemara say there? De Omri Inshi, Mineu Ve Abo Nizil Be Nargo. From the forest comes the handle of the axe, which is chopping down the trees. So you've got a forest full of trees, and you've got an axe, and you're cutting down these trees. But where does this axe come from? The handle of the axe comes from wood, which comes from that very same forest. So that forest is producing the axe, which cuts down, which is destructing the trees of that self-same forest. That's the expression of the Gemara. And the same in Shmuel Beis, like David HaMelech. David HaMelech smote Moab. From whom did David HaMelech come? He came from Moab. He came from Rus. And yet he was smiting Moab. And there again, Rabbi Yochanan says in the Gemara, from the forest comes the handle of the axe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to the enemy, you are going to be defeated as a result of your own actions. This is the Hashgacha Pratis. Says the Medrash and Shmos Rabbo in this week's Parsha, V'af melech ha-moshiach. And the same with the Mashiach, she'osid lifram e'edom, yoshev imoim ba'medino. So it's the same with the Mashiach. The Mashiach will be growing up within the enemy. They will look after him. They will nurture him until he is ready to bring about the salvation of Klal Yisrael. And this is amplified on by the Maharal in the Gevuros Hashem. He also mentions it in Netzach Yisrael. That Mashiach will be raised by the enemy. So this is much deeper than the ideas we had from the Ibn Ezra about royalty and about self-respect and the idea of Tumah turning into Kedusha. That the raising of Moshe Rabbeinu in a place of Tumah results in the greatest form of Kedusha. And says the Maharal, this is why when Yaakov Avinu was born, he was holding Ba'akev Shel Esav. He was holding on to the heel of Esav. Why? Because the development of Yaakov, the development of Klal Yisrael, is dependent upon the enemy. And that's why he's holding on to his heel. So just as Moshe grew up in Paro's palace, he says, so Mashiach will come from Edom. And then the Maharal says something even more mind-boggling. The Maharal, remember, he wrote this over 400 years ago. He says, Malch Yisrael HaKadosha Sheesh Lo Madrego Elokis Penimis, that the eventual Malchus of Mashiach, which will be very holy, and will have the Madrego of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Penimis, Hitzameches Mitoch Malchus Bilti Kedusha. That kingdom of Yisrael will grow from another Malchus, which has no Kedusha. A Malchus Bilti Kedusha will be functioning before Mashiach comes. It will not be run on Torah lines, but he says it will have inside it a Kedusha. It will be growing inside it. That Kedusha will grow, and that is what will lead to the Malchus HaMashiach. That, can you believe it, that over 400 years ago, the Maharal was predicting a state of Israel which will be run on non-Torah lines, which will develop, he said, from the Kedusha inside it. V'hakol romzu, and this is all hinted at from this pasuk, v'masha omar v'otzi eish mitochacho. I will bring out the fire from within you. I was told about this Maharal from Rabbi Cooper Zatzal years ago, and he said, I cannot understand how the Maharal learns it out from this pasuk. When you read the pasuk in Yecheskel, you wouldn't think that it's talking about how it will lead to the salvation of Klal Yisrael. The pasuk talks in a more depressing manner, but it's from that pasuk. And says the Maharal, just like in the same way you have fruit inside a shell, or a nut inside the shell, it grows, and eventually the shell breaks away, and the nut is ripe and takes over. Says the Maharal, this is the most amazing big thing to understand. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu grow up in the palace of Paro in order to send out this idea that it's the Kedusha is coming out from the Tumah? It's mind-boggling. And we get this idea in other places as well. I mean, where does the Malchus Mashiach come from? we spoke before about Rus, but what was the first sign of the Malchus HaMashiach? It was the two daughters of Lot, who survived Sodom. So remember what sort of environment they grew up in, and there were no tzaddikim in Sodom, so we don't exactly know what these two daughters were like, but they were obviously very primitive and very ignorant. And they were raised in the evils of Sodom, and they thought that the whole world was destroyed. They just had this narrow-mindedness that Sodom was the whole world. So they thought, how are we going to carry on civilization? We have to do something drastic. And that's what led to them to doing incest with their father. And Moab was born, who was the ancestor of Rus and of David HaMelech. So imagine suggesting a shidduch for David HaMelech. What sort of yichus did he have? Yeah, his ancestors came from Sodom. That he came from an incestuous relationship. This was David HaMelech and Tamar. And what happened on the other side of the Malchus HaMashiach? We know about the story of Yehuda and Tamar. Here is a woman who was widowed by two bad husbands. She was told by Yehuda to go home and wait till Shelah grows up, that she could have a Yibum, and she waits weeks, she waits months, she waits years, and nothing happens. So she decides to take matters into her own hands, and it's suggested she even had a nevuah that the Malchus will come from. So how is she going to set about it? So she dresses up as a Zonah, and we know the rest. And what happens from there? You get from that union, you get Peretz, and you Oved, Yishai, David, Shlomo. So from these relationships, which were not so exemplary for the Shadchan to talk about, you've got the Malchus HaMashiach. Certainly there are lots of Mephoshim about this to talk about. It was all done to confuse the Sotan, but that's another sheer topic, not for now. But we see constantly this idea of the good coming from the bad. The Al Shech HaKadosh writes in Rus, Shekol Dovah Shebek Dusha, anything which has Kedusha, holiness in it, Einam Iskayim, it doesn't last, Ad Shebo Ma'at Tarumos Shemichzike Isur, something which looks like it's forbidden is mixed up inside it, Af She'eino Isur Mamush, even though it's not forbidden properly or fully, nevertheless, when you've got the Kedusha, there's something which it's relating to, like the hand of Yaakov holding on to the heel of Esau. It's amazing. So we see a consistent divine plan. Moshe coming out from the Bais Paro. It's written that the grandchildren, in Gemara Gittin, then Nun Gimel, the grandchildren of Homon learnt Torah in Bnei Barak. Talks about the descendants of Sisra and Sancheiriv similarly. And we spoke about Avadia, the Edomite, Hager, and Anovi. We also know about Rabbi Akiva. He had no yichus at all. And look what sort of man he became. Gemara Brachas Chavzai. There is a story written about Moshe Rabbeinu, purported to be a Medrash, by the Tiferes Yisrael at the end of Maseches Kiddushin. And the Tiferes Yisrael seems to be a very, very good source, one of the Gedolei Yisrael from the time of Rabbi Akiva Rega. So the Tiferes Yisrael writes a story about Moshe Rabbeinu when he was in the Midbar with Klal Yisrael. There was a king, a distant king of some Arabic country, who was very curious to know who this Moshe Rabbeinu was, what he looked like. They hear stories, you know, Kriyas Yamsuf, all these other amazing things about this character, Moshe Rabbeinu. He wanted to know who was this Moshe Rabbeinu. But unfortunately, there were no cameras there. You couldn't just take some phone out of your pocket and take a picture of him. So he sent an artist along. He said to this artist, I want you to draw a picture of who this Moshe is. I want to know what he looks like. I want to see what his characteristics are like. So the artist goes along, makes an appointment, finds Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu agrees to be sketched, and he sits there with his drawing board, and he makes a picture of Moshe Rabbeinu's face. And he brings it back to the king, and the king shows it to his psychologist advisors. And he says, tell me what sort of character this person has. And the advisors say to him, this person has a very demeaning, bad character. He looks like he's arrogant, he's selfish, he's greedy. And the king says, that can't be. You're talking about the leader of the Jewish people, appointed by God himself to lead them out, and all these miracles. It just can't be that way. And the psychologists say, that's what he looks like. He gives us that impression. So the king says, I'll go myself. I'm going to see what he's like. So the king goes and finally meets Moshe himself, takes out the portrait, looks at Moshe Rabbeinu, spitting image, just like the artists had drawn it. So he asks Moshe, tell me something, how is this possible? I'm told by my psychologist that you are selfish, greedy, arrogant. And Moshe says to him, it's true. I was born that way. I did have these tendencies, but I worked on them. I worked on my midas, and I decided I have to exercise self-control, and I have to abolish any traits of bad character, of being greedy or arrogant. And that's who I am, but I was born that way. That's the story. But there are those who dispute the authenticity of this story, quite notably, most recently, Rav Moshe Feinstein, that it is believed by a number of sources that this was not a true story. There's a kuntras called Khalil Tiferes by the Maggid of Vilkomir, who wrote quite a number of pages to explain why this story is not authentic. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu was born pure and tohar, Vatera Soki Tohu, she saw he was good, Vater Ehu Esayeled, and it could have said Vatera, but because it says with Hay and Vav, Hashem's name is in it, that he was pure and tzaddik from birth. And more recently, the Aderes, Rav Tumim Rabinovitz, wrote a Haskama on this Sefer of the Khalil Tiferes, saying in no way could this story be true. Rav Shulev Diskin said the same thing, which is quite remarkable because it's in the Tiferes Yisrael. But whether or not it's true, whatever, there is a lesson to be learnt from it. There is a lesson to be learnt that each and every one of us may well be born with certain bad traits, and we have to work on them. And that from that tumma can come the kedusha. So we can deal with it on a personal level, in a personal way. Like we say in the Shema, "Uvavta Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavacha." Why does it say levavacha and not libacha? You've got more than one base. You've got two bottom. Why? One is to connect the Yetzer Tov, and one is connect the Yetzer Hara. That we are serving Hashem with our Yetzer Hara. How we divert it. That we channel it. So that any bad influences which we receive or which we give out can be corrected, and then you will be doing the Shem Shemayim what you're going to be doing. But the lesson which comes then from all of this, why was Moshe Rabbeinu brought up in the palace of Paro? We learnt about the Ibn Ezra and royalty and self-respect, and we spoke about HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matzileinu Miyodom, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves us as a result of their actions. But much more deeper than that, which we know from the Medrash and from the Maharal, I will bring out the fire from within you, that every person has to do what this is saying. Every single person has to bring out that fire from within us, that spark of Kedusha, which can grow and eventually create the personality which everybody should be aiming for. Thank you very much.